You people are too gracious to me. After what Newt said, you know, I don't know how to take these things, you know. They told me that things would happen to me beyond my fondest dreams, and I'm going to say this in passing. Last night, as Sam stood up here and talked, you know, I have been and had the wonderful privilege and pleasure in Sam's group in South Miami, North Dade, in other words, North Dade Group, that I have been their speaker for their anniversary for straight 13 years. Isn't that fantastic in Sam's group? And now Newt got up this morning and said what he said. You know, I don't know what to say about it. I'm honored beyond all scopes of imagination. And I only hope that I can hold up to what is required of me through the grace of God. I will do my best. My name is Wesley Parrish, and I am an alcoholic. Last year, when I stood before you on Sunday morning, I went through the 12 traditions as I saw them and in the spirit of which I thought they were written, and that was deflation at depth. I reminded you that if an alcoholic was to survive this program, it's one thing he had to eliminate, and that's the bondage of self. And the only way that bondage of self can be eliminated is through the grace of God, and I know no other way. The only way I've ever been able to relieve the bondage of self is through His grace. And this is established and made firm by the 12th step of Alcoholics Anonymous when it says, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps. And whenever I have a spiritual awakening as a result of the previous 11 steps, then I am in a position where I have what we call in Alcoholics Anonymous a God conscience. And I have what this program offers me, a way of life that I can live and be happy without alcohol. And that is what the game is all about. It's just to be happy. I think the reason I'm an alcoholic, and a lot of you heard me say this, but it's so true, that I was born with a personality that just wanted to be happy. And when I was made on Friday afternoon, on the assembly line, they forgot to tighten up a lot of screws because they were going home. They were in a hurry. And so I took my first drink of alcohol 17 years later, and it was just like a screwdriver. It tightened up every loose screw in me. And I made a firm decision that if I was going to be a success in life, I was going to have to take of alcohol. And I religiously did it for 17 years, and I progressed day in and day out into the disease of alcoholism. If castor oil would have had the same effect on me as alcohol, I'd have been a castor-olic. It wouldn't have made a better difference. It's just that simple. No use getting excited about it. I drank alcohol, and you know, I know what causes alcoholism. Believe me when I tell you this. Alcohol causes alcoholism. Now, I don't care what these great, profound doctors we have and programs we have throughout the world. That's all it causes is alcoholism. And I know this for the simple reason, through the grace of God and through the application of the AA program, my last drink was November 13th, 1947. In other words, I have been 30 years without getting drunk. How about that? Just because I didn't take a drink of alcohol. That's the only reason. So alcohol causes alcoholism. Now that's part of the truth. But there's more to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous than the 12 steps. Did you know that? The A program comes in three parts. We have a circle, and in that circle we have a triangle, and the foundation, and the foundation of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is recovery. And in this triangle on both sides, one side is unity, which is the 12 traditions of alcoholics, though. And the other side is service. And it takes the sum total of all the AA program to achieve what we as individuals are trying to achieve in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous if we want to be happy. I know this to be true. I know this is to be true because I know what happened to me, and so therefore I've had the time in Alcoholics Anonymous where I have lived these things, and I know that it takes the total program of AA today. Not only recovery, but the unity part and the service part for me to survive and continue growing in this program. There's an old cliche in AA that says you gotta grow or you gotta go. You show me a person that stops growing in AA and I'll show you a person that starts getting drinking thinking right away. I don't care how long you're in this program. You have to grow. Dr. Tebow in AA Comes of Age on page 249 says this about it. Last year I didn't have to do this, but this year I do. You see, that tells me something. He says this: it is common knowledge that a return of full-fledged ego can happen at any time. Years of sobriety are no insurance against its reoccurrence. No AA, regardless of his veteran status, can ever relax his guard against the encroachments of a rising ego. Recently, one AA, writing to another, reported that he was suffering, he feared, from halitosis. A reference to the smugness and complacency which so easily can creep into an individual with years of sobriety behind him. How about that, you old-timers? You think we still need enthusiasm for this program? I think we need it. If Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob didn't think that Dr. Tebow knew what he was talking about, they would have not put this in our conscience-approved literature. That's all there is to it. And if you want to refresh yourself on that, I will repeat, that's on page 249 in AA Comes of Age. And to continue on growing and keeping your enthusiasm up for this program, you have to take the total program. And I'm going to repeat, recovery, unity, and service. When I was in AA, I'd say approximately 10 years, I had gone through, it took me 4.5 years to get busy on the 12 steps. At the age of 10 in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had acquired everything that I thought was possible to get on the face of the earth. I was happy. My wife was happy. I'd built a new home. I had a Lincoln automobile with electric windows, something I thought was the epitome. I had a good business. The world was in tune with me, and I was in tune with the world. I was getting the abundance of this program. I had the abundance materially and spiritually. And I thought that I had it made. But when you're on top is when you've got to work the hardest to stay on top, because something is always trying to shove you off the top, to the apex of life. And if you're not careful, your own self, your own ego will trip you and start you down the ladder. And this is what happened to me. I became, now I don't know which is the most important. I'm not going to argue the point, because it's not necessary for me to argue the point, which is most important in the pursuit of happiness. And that is the spiritual life or the material things in life. I don't know which is important, but let's say that both are 50-50. One is just as important as the other. But if we're not careful, we will make one more paramount than the other, and this is where we get in trouble. And naturally, I lean toward the material things a lot more than I did the spiritual things. And I started to try to make more amends than I was entitled to make to my family, to give them things that honest was not required of me, over and above, things beyond the call of duty. And things began getting expensive because children got to get older and they had to go to college and all of these things. And these things became paramount to me because I thought they were important. And being an alcoholic, and I had wasted most of my, for 10 years of my children's life, well, I thought that they were going to go to college tomorrow, and so therefore I had to start putting away a nest egg for these children. And therefore I decided that I had better get busy and start increasing my material things. Well, I was working full time anyway. I was working 6.5 days a week and going to AA 4 or 5 times a week. So the only time that I could find extra was this AA time, naturally. So I started kidding myself. I would say, well, now, tonight, I know so-and-so over here wants to buy so-and-so, and I'll go over there tonight, and tomorrow night, I've been wanting to go to this eat-nothing Deerfield or Fort Lauderdale, and I will go there tomorrow night, and I'll miss my meeting tonight. I'll go over here and sell this man this item that he wants. And so I start making material things more important than Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm an alcoholic, and the number one thing in my life is to stay sober. And you see, I start putting it in the second slot. You see, I came into this program in a state of bondage. Bondage of alcoholism. And I got relieved of this bondage through faith. And from faith I got courage to clean house and to clean up my life. And from courage I got freedom. I got freedom from my own self. And I wasn't run scared anymore. I was a free man for the first time in my life. And if there's any person on earth that knows what freedom is, it's an alcoholic that is free from his old alcoholic thinking. And I got free of that. From this freedom, I got the abundance of this program. I got the abundance. I got material abundance and I got spiritual abundance. But you see, when I started putting Alcoholics Anonymous in the second slot, my sobriety, I started getting complacent. I started to get back into my negative, stinking, drinking thinking. And I started, I'm on top now, now I start to go downhill. Downhill. The first thing I do is start making excuses why I don't go to my AA meeting. It's for the simple reason I've got to make a little bit more money for my family to make these amends. Well, I go out this night and I sell this item and I make $100. Just use that as a round figure. But it's pretty good, pretty good. That's over and above. That's over and above, so I can put that away for my children's education. You see, I'm only kidding myself. The old devil's getting after me. I'm only kidding myself. And I do. And the next night, I was supposed to go to Fort Lauderdale to a meeting, but something else happened, and I didn't get to Fort Lauderdale that night. And a week goes by. A week goes by, and finally I get to my meeting the next week, and nobody said a word about me not being there a week before. Not a word. My God, they didn't even miss me. All I've done for these people. You know what I mean, Bob? All I've done for these people, they didn't even miss me. Not one word. Not one word was said. Well, I'm not as important as I thought I was around here. They can do without me. Why don't I turn this thing over to the newcomer? Why don't I let go? And then I start looking at the members around that I had the privilege of 12-stepping. And they come to me and gave me the privilege of sponsorship. And I start taking credit for their sobriety. That awful? I look at them and I said, if it hadn't have been for me, he wouldn't have made it. This is being a human being. This is complacency. Within yourself, this quiet pleasure. Sam said something about pleasure last night. It's not happiness, it's pleasure. See, you can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. This quiet pleasure inside of me starts working. And I miss another meeting and they don't say anything. And I miss another meeting and they don't say anything at intervals. And the first thing you know, I change. I become indifferent about my group. I become indifferent. I go into a state of apathy, which is being indifferent. And I says, they don't need me, no way. I don't know about these people. I says, I wondered sometimes why I associated with them as much as I did. I might go there. I owe them a little something. Yes, I owe them a little something. And every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll go to this meeting, and I'll sit back on the back row, and they all know how long I've been in AA, 10 years or better. And if any of the newcomers wants a few pearls of wisdom, I'll be sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll pass it on to them, and I'll tell them how to do it. Have you ever been this way? I'm guilty. I went in a complete state of apathy. And from that, I went to dependency. You see, this is going down. I mean, fast. Down, down, down. I'd quit growing in AA. I'd run out of things to grow on. I get down, start into dependency. I start depending entirely upon me again. My God, my way's the wrong way. But I don't think so. My ego is in full bloom all over again. All over again. Me. The big me. The I. The big I. The big I. I don't need those people. I don't know why I would start associating with them anyway. The hell. I'm no alcoholic. What are they talking about? I've heard those people get up and that and use it. I've never been in jail. I've never done a lot of things those people have done. Nuh-uh. That's not for me. I'm just going to quit them all together. I depend upon the big I. I forget about my family. I forget about AA. I forget about my sponsor. I forget about my friends. And the worst of all, I forget about God. I'm an alcoholic, and I go right back into bondage again. Right back into bondage. Through the grace of God, my sponsor caught me in dependency, and he said, Wesley, you better do something about it. And he jerked me up by the bootstraps, and he said, get back into the program, through the grace of God. About this time, I was going through the grapevine one day, and I ran across the directory, and I was reading the directory where they was having conventions, and I wasn't a convention goer. And one showed up in Durham, North Carolina, and I said, I told Rena, she was sitting in the Davenport doing something, and I said, Rena, I think I'll go to, to Durham, North Carolina, to this state convention. And she looked at me just like that, and she says, it'll do you any good, go. You see, I was carrying this stuff home with me, and she could see the change. And so I got ready, and I went to Durham, North Carolina, and Saturday morning, the speaker got up, a young man from New York. I don't know what his name is. I've never seen him before and heard him after. And he got up and he started talking. And he used one word over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And this word was intelligentsia. Dutch Whitley used to say, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I said, hell, I can't spell it either. Intelligentsia. And so I went back to Pompano Beach with this word branded right between my eyes. I had become an intelligentsia in Alcoholics Anonymous. In other words, in plain common English, I had become a damn know-it-all. That's exactly what I became. And I said, I'm in bad shape. I'm in bad shape. What am I going to grow in this program? I've already completed the 12 steps, and what else can I do? And I went back to that little grapevine again. And you know, in inside of the back cover, the 12 traditions is always there, and inside of the front cover, the 12 steps is always there. So I read the 12 steps first in this little grapevine, and then by chance I turned over, and up to this time I never heard of the 12 traditions. I heard somebody say one time, well, we don't use those around my group. We never say nothing about them. Those are for the group to run on, and we don't have trouble in our group. We got well people in our group. We don't argue and fight and fuss. And so in my group, they never used the 12 traditions. Well, by chance, I turned back in the back and I read the 12 traditions. And what amazed me about this was this saying of that the 12 traditions were wrote at the group level and the 12 steps is written at the we level. And an amazing question come to my mind. I says, I wonder which one of these, if the 12 traditions, what is a group? What is a group? They're written at the group level. What is a group? And I opened up the big book and I looked over and on tradition 3 in the long form, and it says our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence we may never refuse none who wish to recover, nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that, as a group, they have no other affiliation. And I says, two or three members is a group. Tom Lovering up in Virginia says, two resentments and a dozen donuts is all you need to start a new group. So I got thinking. I said, well, we, the 12 steps are written at the we level, and the 12 traditions are wrote at the group level. I said, what is the definition of we? Well, I says, the only thing we can have we with is two. Two eyes make a we, right? That's simple. Well, how many eyes make a group? Two make a group. I makes a group too, you see. So I said, well, I've always practiced the 12 steps at the I level. I never practiced the 12 steps at the we level. Won't keep me sober, won't phase you, and won't keep you sober, won't phase me. I have my interpretation and how I apply the 12 steps. You have your interpretation how you apply the 12 steps. And that's the way we stay sober as individuals. If it's to be, it's up to me. That's 10 two-little words, two-letter words. If it's to be, it's up to me. And so therefore, I apply the 12 steps to my everyday life, and I stay sober one day at a time. If I can count to one, I can make it. Don't take one drink for one day and keep one person sober. Just that simple. Well, I said to myself, well, if I use the eye level at the 12 steps, why can't I use the eye level at the 12 traditions? Maybe I can find something that'll help me get back into the Alcoholics Anonymous program, into the run of things, and become part of this fellowship again, and get my enthusiasm built back up, and become part of my group, and get this feeling that I had before that Sam was talking about last night. And I said, I'm going to try this in my life. I'm going to try to place the 12 traditions along in my life with the 12 steps at the eye level, and I'm going to see what happens to me. And when I started doing this, things opened up to me beyond my fondest dreams. It was a complete new ball game. I had been doing part of the 12 traditions in my everyday life ever since I've been sober, but I didn't know what I was doing. I think every individual that lives the program of Alcoholics Anonymous practices the 12 traditions in their everyday life, but very few people know what they're doing. And how much more we could acquire out of this part one, out of this third of the AA program, if we knew what we were doing. And so I started practicing the 12 traditions in my everyday life. and things started to change. Now, I want to go through the 12 traditions, a few of them at the eye level, and to show you what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not trying to change the AA program, no. But what I'm trying to do is show you areas in this program to grow in. Areas that will give you things beyond your fondest dreams that will make you happy and make you love this program more and love your fellow man more. I know what it's done for me, and I know if it's done for me, it can do it for you. The first tradition in the short form says, and in the eye, my common welfare comes first. Me staying sober is my biggest business. It comes before anything else. Anytime that I put anything in the way of me staying sober, I get in trouble. I started going downhill. I told you that. And so therefore, my common welfare is to stay sober every day of my life. Every day of my life, I sign a contract. This day, I'm going to stay sober. And when I lay my head on the pillow that night, I say thanks. And I'll sign a contract in the morning. I'm an alcoholic. I've got an incurable disease called alcoholism. I'll never cure it, but I can arrest it just by not taking one drink for one day. But this program gives us more than that. It gives us a way of life, a new brand spanking new way of life. And so my common welfare is to stay sober. It comes ahead of everything else. My family, my job, my business, society, or anything. Without me being sober, I am nothing. My personal recovery depends upon AA unity. My personal recovery depends upon me living in unity with you. Not you living in unity with me. That has nothing to do with it. If I want to be happy, I've got to love you whether you love me or not. It's just that way. I cannot have personality clashes in my life. I've got to accept you just the way you are, not the way I want you to be. And you know, for years I tried to change every one of you, and I couldn't. I can no more change you than you can change me. And so therefore, you're one of God's children, and I'm going to allow you to be one of God's children. I'm going to allow you to use the gifts that God gives you. And that gives me the opportunity for me to use the gifts that God gives me. The greatest teacher on earth once said, "What is it to love those who love you?" That's nothing. But to love those who hate you is something. Now, the world outside there don't live that way. But the world inside here, while we're trying to find a way to live and be happy, we can use it and use it to our advantage, and it will become an attraction. And that is the point of this whole program, is to be an attraction to the outside. We do not promote, but we attract. And the only way that we can attract is through the grace of God, and that comes through our countenance. There's no other place. We show in our face what we are in our hearts. Just that simple. And me loving my fellow man puts something in my face that other people don't have.
Love you and you don't love me, we have a personality clash, and what happens? We lose what we are trying to achieve in this program. We both become unhappy because we have personality clashes. We don't like each other. We get resentments. And they tell me resentments are fatal to an alcoholic. Did you ever hear that before? So I have to love you whether you love me or not. And I do love you. But this is part of the AA program. And this is where it comes in at for me, is in the 12 traditions. The next says, I have but one ultimate authority. A loving God as he may express himself in my conscience. I am but a trusted servant. I do not govern. I have one ultimate authority. And you know where I found out about this authority? I found out about this authority in my sponsor's eyes or the first man that I ever approached to go to an AA meeting, I saw this ultimate authority in his eyes, this loving God. The Greeks pronounce this word akape. We in English, you know, that use English, we have one word, and that's love, and we just absolutely use it in every kind of way you want, negative and positive, and we just destroy the word. But the Greeks had this one word. It was called akape, or agape. I don't know which is the right pronunciation, but it's one of the two. And this word means the divine love of God. It's a love that's spontaneous, it's unlimited, and it's unmotivated. Now, when I went to see the man that took me to my first AA meeting, I walked up to him and I said, "Jim, I want to go to an AA meeting tomorrow night with you." And he looked at me with those big blue eyes and he says, "You can go tomorrow night if you're sober." And he established that, if you're sober. But the more he talked to me, the more that I could see that he unlimited, the unlimited amount that he wanted me to go with him. But I had to meet a certain requirement. He used tough love on me the first thing. Tough love. He told me that if I wanted to be part, I had to start doing my part. And then he seemed to go on and talk to me, and it was unlimited what he had to offer me. And he wanted to give me to it to me freely, without anything attached. And this love was unmotivated because it was nothing about me that night that would motivate love. Do you remember the first time you approached AA, was there anything about you that motivated love? Huh? But my God, it did. I could see it. And you know, this is the attraction. This is the attraction of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. From the very time, the very minute measurement of time, that we want to do something about alcoholism in our own individual minds, we find this AA person that gives us the divine love of God, a love that's spontaneous, unlimited, and unmotivated. And this is a loving God I have found that I can use as my ultimate authority. And any time I draw away from him, I lose what I have acquired in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am but a trusted servant. I do not govern. I have been everything in AA you can be. I've been a great white father, a bleeding deacon. I've caused more chaos in a group than you can cause. I've run the group with iron fist. I didn't want contamination. But you know, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me over and over as I read my service bulletins and the 12 concepts that it's one thing that Alcoholics Anonymous allows to every member, the right to be wrong. How about that? The right to be wrong. I was wrong, so I've got that right. And today I'm a servant. I came to get, but I stay to give. I'm here today, this morning, as a servant, trying to transmit to you what this program has taught to me, and to show you another avenue of might you might find a deeper understanding of this program, only through the grace of God. A servant is never the boss. Never. And this is a great thing to remember if you want to be happy. The only requirement for AA membership is desire to stop drinking. I've talked about that a little. The only requirement for me to be a member of the fellowship of AA is a desire to stop drinking. Everybody has that right. Any person on the face of the earth, if they just took one drink of alcohol, now a lot of people will disagree with this, but I don't care. I've got a right to be wrong. But this is how I've got to think about it. If one person takes one drink and they don't like what it's doing to them and they says, I have a desire to stop drinking, they can become a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have to go through the devastation I went through. The program is from anyone that suffers from the disease of alcoholism. Yeah, who he is. And they're in town. I used to point at people and I says they'll never make it. He's got too much education and he don't have enough. You know? It was something always wrong. He plays around too much. He wants to be the wolf. Wolves just don't stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I've seen Alcoholics Anonymous tame wolves, have you? I've seen that. Wild ones, too. My God. And they stayed sober, you know? When they took book on me, everybody thought they were going to win, but I fooled them. I made it, but through the grace of God. So you see, everybody's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous that wants to be a member. If you're a member, you say you're an alcoholic and you're a member. That's all there's to it. No, nothing to argue about. Nothing to argue about. AA is for alcoholics. And for those who say they're alcoholics, and that's what it's for. Now, if there's any side benefits for any other part of society, as far as I'm concerned, they're welcome to it. But as far as I'm concerned, AA is for members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I just feel that way about it. Because these other people, I don't understand. I've talked to Neurotic Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous, you wouldn't believe it, but they invited me to talk. And they didn't even ask me to be a member. I said, y'all sure got tolerance. You got the program. But these things, Yammers Anonymous, they got one outfit now called Prostitute Anonymous. Their slogan is, don't take that first buck. But alcoholics are entitled to be members of Alcoholics Anonymous. By only their say-so, they don't have to sign nothing. They're members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, this takes away a lot of inventory taking, you know? I've had a lot more time for my own inventory. And it makes me feel better. I haven't wasted my time. I should always be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. I should always be autonomous. I should always be self-governed. I've got a master's degree in negative thinking. I can outlie, cheat, out, connive any so-called normal person because I did it for years and I haven't lost the art just because I'm sober, you know? I know right from wrong. I know right from wrong. And so I've got to be autonomous. I can't go along with the crowd just because at that particular time it's convenient. I've got to stand on my own 2 feet and be counted. Because I am the one that has to hear the hounds of heaven bark at 4 o'clock in the morning, not those other people that entice me to do these things. We used to have an old little cliche that hung up on a wall in a club room in Pompano Beach, or a meeting room. It said this, he said, anything just about right is wrong. Get that? Should I repeat that? Be autonomous. Anything just about right is wrong. Because you are the one that has to pay the penalty. And it's the small things. You know, one time there was a king that told his messenger, says, go in haste and bring back my army. And the servant took him at his word. And he didn't check his horse, and he had a loose shoe and a nail in the shoe on his horse. And for the one of the nail, the shoe was lost. The one of the shoe, the horse was lost. And the one of the horse, the man was lost. And the loss of the man, the kingdom was lost. We have to be careful on a day-by-day basis and be autonomous. Don't be misled. Stand on your own 2 feet and be counted and become part of the human race if you want to be happy. Don't destroy the very same thing that you're trying to acquire in this program. You're an alcoholic, and the big book says we don't crawl on our bellies in front of no one. We are children of God. And God has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God is on our side, and never forget it. The big book tells us that, and it promises that. And use it, and believe it. Be like Oral Roberts. I know that I know that I do know that I know that I do know that I know that I do know that I know that God has done for me what I could not do for myself. The greatest fear I have is me. Me. My greatest enemy is me. There's not but one person all big enough on earth to hurt me, and that's me. And so I have to be autonomous. I have to account to my own self for my what I do if I want to be happy. I'm going to skip number 5 and come back. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Now, what do I mean by talking about that this morning? I'm talking about on the proposition that we want to be happy in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no person on earth that doesn't meet his obligation that's happy. You have to meet your obligations if you're happy. Your responsibilities have got to come first if you want to be happy. And we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we decline all outside contributions. So therefore, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is responsible for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And through this responsibility, he is or she is to contribute to the well-being of Alcoholics Anonymous if they want to be happy. I made a mistake about that one time, and why I'm so forceful about it is this. When I first come in AA, I sit by a millionaire. And I did it for a reason, because I wanted to exercise my resentments. I love this resentment, and this is before I found out that they were fatal. And so every time the basket would come by this guy, he would reach in his pocket and put out a little black pocketbook, and he'd snap it, and you could hear it all over the room. That irritated the hell out of me. And then he'd run down and he'd go like this and he'd go take out a Texas half, that's a dime. And when that basket went by, he'd drop that dime in the basket. And you know what I'd say? That tight son of a bitch. If he don't put but a dime in there, I'm not going to put nothing. Now who was I hurting? Who was I hurting? Me. You see, I was cheating myself because I was taking his inventory of how much he was putting in there, and that's none of my business. It's what I do is what counts. Me. And so therefore, I was cheating myself. I wasn't paying my way. Every member of Alcoholics Anonymous has a responsibility to meet as far as Alcoholics Anonymous is concerned. You see, we have a program that's ours. And as long as we meet our responsibilities of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's going to be ours. But the minute that we let outside contributions come in, what's going to happen? The program is going to get what we call in Georgia, tainted. You ever eaten the tainted ham? I say it starts, that's the way it starts spoiling, is getting tainted, you know? You didn't think I was a Georgia boy, did you? I've eaten tainted ham all my life. Tainted, and then it goes to getting spoiled. It gets strings attached, and the program changes. And the program changes. Just because we might have not met our responsibilities. We had to find contributions elsewhere. Every member of Alcoholics Anonymous gives till it feels good, not till it hurts. AA don't say give till it hurts, but it says give till it feels good. And everybody knows that what their part is, and give that part freely, freely. The fifth says, we have but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I've been sober 30 years, and I still suffer every day of my life from the disease of alcoholism. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Whether you've been sober one day or 30 or 40 years, do you still suffer from the disease of alcoholism? Are you here this morning for your medicine? It says the primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. It's my responsibility every time I see you, it's the 12-step you. And it's your responsibility every time you see me, it's the 12-step me. It's my responsibility to love you, and it's your responsibility to love me. And this is the longevity of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is whether your group in your hometown is an attraction or whether it's not an attraction. As we AA members 12-stepping each other and sharing the same type of love with each other that we share with a newcomer. You know, there's many an old-timer that comes to your group that's in worse shape the y'all meeting night of your group than a new member that you just brought through the door. And nobody pays any attention to the old-timer. He's got it made. That's a bunch of hooey. You don't ever have it made in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody, every once in a while, has living problems. And they need love. They need the same love that newcomers need. And sometimes you need the love that newcomers receive. And so let's make it a habit to carry the message to each other and to share with each other, because we care about each other. And we will attract into Alcoholics Anonymous the people in our communities that need us, and we need them. This is still a program of attraction, not promotion. And we attract these people to us from the way we live, the examples we are, and how we walk down the streets of our hometown. The best 12-step call, a 12-step job anybody can do is just walk down the streets of their hometown sober, a happy member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Believe me when I tell you that. Somebody is watching. Somebody is watching. I've had men come up to me out of the clear blue sky. One time I was a chairman of the Broward County School Board since I've been in AA. I'm going to tell this, sir, because it's a fact. And I took the place of a man that was chairman before me. And 15 years later, this man called me one morning, and he says, "Wesley, I've got to talk to you." And I said, "What do you got to talk to me about?" He said, "I want to talk to you about Alcoholics Anonymous." I said, "Well, who you want to talk to me about?" He said, "I want to talk about me." I said, "You're the last person I ever thought of being an alcoholic." He said, "Well, I am." You see, I attracted that man, and he knew from the way I lived and the way I talked on the school board that I knew what I was talking about. 15 years, and that man developed alcoholism. And today he's got 5 years of sober out. How about that? I don't tell these things right now. I'm just trying to illustrate the point. Just love each other. Love each other very strongly. This is the primary purpose of this program. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of our tradition, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Anonymity, the spiritual foundation. You know, for years I misused that word, anonymity. I thought anonymity was to keep people from knowing I was in AA. And I resented somebody telling somebody else I was in AA. I was one of them kind of people. I wanted to be anonymous. My anonymity was everything for me, because it was going to affect my family. It was going to affect my business. It was going to affect me in society. Is that a hell of a note for a drunk to feel that way? I lived in a complete state of fear. And I had a friend up in Canada that straightened me out on it. He told me, he says, "Wesley," he says, "you've got the worst case of fear about anonymity I've heard of." And he says, why don't you practice anonymity in the positive state? And I says, what are you talking about? He says, well, anonymity is a spiritual foundation. It's a spiritual foundation of our tradition. And he says, Eddie brought to Bill the first time he ever went to Bill. He brought him anonymity. When Eddie went to see Bill, the first time he gave Bill those six things he was staying sober from. One was, I learned that I had to admit that I was licked. Two, I learned that I ought to take stock of myself and confess my defects to another person in confidence. I learned that I needed to make restitution for the harm I had done others. I was told that I ought to practice the kind of giving. Now listen, this is anonymity. I was told that I ought to practice the kind of giving that had no price tag on it. The giving of yourself to somebody. You see, Abby told Bill about anonymity the first time he ever met him. And he went on and said, they taught me that I should try and pray to whatever God I thought there was for the power to carry out these simple precepts. And six, if I had not believed there was a God, then I'd better try the experiment of praying to whatever God there might be.
These were the six things that Abby told Bill the first time Abby ever saw Bill. But one of them was true anonymity. I was told that I ought to practice the kind of giving with no price tag on it. The giving of yourself to somebody. And that is true anonymity, doing for others without expecting anything whatsoever in return. This is the spiritual foundation of this program. Didn't the great teacher go around the land and he healed the sick and he let the blind see and he straightened out the lame limbs? And as these people touched him and had faith in him, and they were healed, he would turn to them and he says, go, tell no one. Go, tell no one. And the word spread like wildfire. And this is the anonymity that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous. And in the Lem tradition and the long form, it says, we do not brag on what we've got. We let our friends recommend us. You see, we live this program into an attraction in the community that we live in, expecting nothing in return except a way to live and be happy without alcohol. And this program works. And these traditions have become just as much a part of me as the 12 steps. And from this, I know whence I'm going and whence I came through the grace of God. Today, I just couldn't live without the 12 traditions in my life. Knowing they're the greatest checkmate that I have. They stop me from doing more things than anything else that I've ever learned. They don't allow me to do things that I used to do. They don't allow me to destroy you, or start to destroy you. They help me help you as an individual. They help me to accept you just the way you are, not the way I want you to be. As a human being, as one of God's children, just like God gives me. One of these days, through perfection of this program, I know what the goal is of every AA. You know, I've come to this decision that as far as I'm concerned, the epitome goal of this program, to me, is for me to give my fellow man the same freedom of thought and action that God and AA gives to me. Wouldn't that be a terrific thing? Thank you.